Okay, so Ranun Bhavam Vedas, we're about, I think, six lines from the bottom, okay? So the Mishnah says, Hizami Manuela Parochet, can I get a Romi Bachot? The Kohen Gadol, this is when he's in the Kodesh, he would sprinkle the blood on the Parochet, which we'll come to see means like towards the Parochet, though there's different opinions. Can I get a Romi Bachot? It's like opposite where the Aron would have been. So five lines from the bottom. So the pasuk says in the Chumash, "V'chein yaseli ol moed." In other words, he did the hazaot in the Kodesh Kodashim, and then the Torah says, "V'chein yaseli ol moed." He should do the same thing in ol moed. Ma tamal lomar. So what is the Torah teaching me with this? Just like he sprinkled the blood in the Kodesh Kodashim from the par and the sa'ir, so too he should sprinkle the blood in the heichal, I mean the Kodesh. Just like inside in the Kodesh Kodashim, he sprinkled one drop above and seven drops below from the Damapar. So we'll do the same thing in Heichal. Same. And just like in the Kodesh Kodashim, he sprinkled one above and seven below from the blood of the goat. So too, he'll do the same thing in the Heichal. And then the pasuk continues. Let me get the pasuk out. 1 second. Yeah. So this pasuk is in Parak Zion, pasuk Zion. It says, "V'chein yaseli ol moed ha'shocheni tam b'toch tumo tam." So we should do ba'ol moed ha'shocheni tam b'toch tumo tam. So now the Gemara darshens the rest of the pasuk. Ha'shocheni tam b'toch tumo tam means that God resides with us in the midst of bar tuma, even though we're tame. It means, you know, it was like spiritually tame. God still resides amongst us. Even when they're tmeim, means they're filled with aveirot. So, nevertheless, Hashem is with us. So he says, "Amar le'ahut stuki the Rebbe Chanina." Certain stuki, a Sadducee, said to Rebbe Chanina, "Hashta bari tmeim ato." And he says, "Look, now that you're in Galus, you Jews are certainly tmeim." Dechtiv tumata b'shuleha. It says concerning Klal Yisrael. After the Korban, we're on Yud Nun Zayin Amar Aleph 57a on the top of the page. Okay, so he says Tumata B'Shuleha. It means it's like compares Klal Yisrael to a woman who's Anita. Anita is a type of Tuma, but Tumata B'Shuleha means her blood is on the edges of her garment, but it's like open and notorious that she's Tameya. So he's saying Tumata B'Shuleha at the Galus is Tumata B'Shuleha. So he says like Hashem is not going to be with you. You're Tameyim. And if you look at the top of Rashi, he says Hashta Bari Badai Tameyim Atun. You're definitely Tameyim because you've been sent into Galus. Bein Shechina Bein Eichem Shura B'Tuma. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to be dwell in your midst in a state of Tuma. So Amar Lei on the second line on the Zayin Mar Aleph. Amar Lei Tachazi Matibahu. So he says. So this is what. Rebbe Chanina said to the Tzduki, "See what the pasuk says concerning us. Hashochini tam b'toch tumo tam. That God resides with us in the midst of our tuma. Even when they're tmeim, the shechina dwells amongst us." Okay, now who's got questions? Tell us the post anything so far. Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on. All right, now the Gemara says on line four, and then Simon Allah 57a line four. Okay, v'chi devar lami behekesh chozer malamed behekesh. Now, if you remember the daf that we did on Shabbos, so we darshened out about the sprinkling of the blood above and below, and if you remember, we said that we had the par and we had the seir, and we had one term missing from each one. So it said concerning the par, v'lakach mitam par v'zabes hopnei chor keima. By the par, it says he's got to sprinkle upwards. Doesn't say how many times he sprinkles upwards, but it says he's got to do seven sprinkles downward. And upwards and downwards means, you know, palm up or palm down, we said. So par, I don't know the whole thing from the par. And by the seir, it also says, So it says one up, hizaoto. Oto means one up, but doesn't say how many down. But we learn one from the other one because it says, everybody's got to mute themselves, please. Okay. So it says that he's tauto, it says viasatamo kasher saldama par. So this pasuk, viasatamo kasher saldama par, will do for this year like he did for the par, that teaches me that they both have to be identical. In other words, he's going to have a certain Hazal from the par, a certain seer, they have to be mirror images of each other. So by one, it says seven below, that's by the par, but the seer, it says one above. So I learned that they're both the same. So now the Gemara asks, now the Gemara is now what we said in the Chumash, it says, V'chein yaseh la'olam ha'oed. We just learned that the way he did in Kodesh Kedashim, which is one above, seven below the par, one above, seven below for the seer, he's going to do the same thing in Olam HaWay before the Parochet, that's what he said. So the Gemara says, V'chi devar l'mei behekesh, can something that was learned out through a hekesh, a hekesh is where there's a connection, the pasuk, between two items, something that's learned out through a hekesh, and we learned that the sprinkling of the blood by the par and seer from a hekesh, one from the other one, chuzer l'mei behekesh, can that, which was like the student, that which learned out the item, can that become the teacher? And because we're learning out for the Kodesh. That's the way it's going. That's the problem. So Rashi brings down that when it comes to Kachim, we don't say that we could do two Hekeshes. He says, one second, let me see where Rashi says this. It says somewhere.
Cannot
do it. Yeah. When it comes to, So he says in the second narrow line of Rashi, but kachim, we don't learn one hekesh, then couple it with another hekesh. Okay, so back in the Gemara on line six, so hanich lamanta mar lo have a hekesh. So the Gemara, so, I'm sorry, I left out a line. So the Gemara says it's not really like a full hekesh because by each one, the Torah says I have to sprinkle upwards, I have to sprinkle downwards. So I'm not like learning something out of whole cloth. I'm just missing one prop. How many times I have to sprinkle down or how many times I have to sprinkle up. So that's not like a full hekesh. Full hekesh would be, I don't know anything from, you know, by animal B, and then I'm learning the whole thing from animal A. That's not quite the same thing here. Here I know what I have to sprinkle upwards, I know I have to sprinkle downwards, and I know by one of them how many numbers I have to sprinkle. So it's not really like a full hekesh. So the Gemara says, Hanich Laman Damar lo have a hekesh. So according to the opinion, and it's the Gemara, look at in the Gemara Masechet Tzavakim, according to one opinion, you're right, it's not a hekesh. But according to another opinion, that still constitutes enough a hekesh that I can't say I can double it over with a hekesh. So what will I respond to that line of argument? So the Gemara says, so the first answer the Gemara says, it's really not learning one hekesh from another hekesh. The focus of the first hekesh was animal, seir, par, so forth. I'm learning, you know, from the seer from the par, I'm learning from the par from the seer. Here, the thrust, the focus of the second hekesh is what I did inside, I want to do outside. So it's not different. Since the focus is different, it's not quite the same thing. He says, so that's the first answer. He says, Ibai Dema, Chutz Min Panim Bechara Zimne Gamor. Or else I could say like this, that I'm really learning it all. Like, you're right, there are some pratim I do know and some pratim I don't know, but I'm learning it all in one whole bulk. Chutz mi pnim b'chad hazim negamar. I'm learning the whole thing in one whole bulk. So meila, since it's b'bad achad, so it's okay. That's the Gemara has. Okay, questions, comes, thoughts, what do you have? It's really the second one. Yeah. So the chutz mi pnim b'chad hazim negamar. In other words, I'm learning everything from the chutz. In other words, I'm learning that the student is the chutz. In other words, the student is the kodesh. I don't know anything from the kodesh. So on mass, I'm learning everything from the pnim. So it includes some different facts. So in the facts, you're right, there are some things that were learned out with a hekesh, but I'm learning it like it's like a package deal. So it's a package deal. So everything's included. There is another hekesh earlier, but since I'm doing it with a package deal, so it passes muster. That's the best I have with that. All right. Now, the Gemara says Tana taught in a brisa shumaze when he sprinkles einu mazel parochet el kineged parochet. When he sprinkles, he doesn't sprinkle the blood on the parochet, on the curtain, but kineged parochet means towards the parochet. And there was a picture here in this book, Moro Yoma, but it's not in the top picture. It's I put it at the end. I had it. Don't tell me. Maybe it could be in the beginning too. Let me see where I saw it. Yeah, I see. One second. second, getting closer. Yeah, this is page 189. If you look at page 189 in the picture book, you have a seven drops. Yeah, page 189. So he's got the seven drops on the floor. Okay, so page 189. So let's see back in the Gemara. So it's going to be machloket tanoim. So the Gemara says, "Ein mazal parokan lagan parokan." Amr Blazer Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Blazer Rabbi Yosi said, "Ani reitiy baromi." Rabbi Blazer says, I saw the parochet in Rome, and on top of that parochet, there were many drops of blood from the parn seer of Yom Kippurim. So in other words, Rabbi Blazer is saying, you do sprinkle on the parochet, it's Malchoket Tanayim. And if you look at Rashi, and this is the 10th lateral line from the bottom, Niri Kippuromi, and Dafyomi people may recall this, he says in the Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wide, he says, "B'masechet Me'ila, Gabi ben Tamalion, there's an incident in Masechet Me'ila where the Romans made all these gzeirot against the Jews. The way I remember it was, I think that one had to do with Bris Mila, and they were going to Rome to try to get it, reversed, right? So Ben Tamalion is like the spirit. That was the spirit, Ben Tamalion. So he greets them along the way, and Rishon Bar Yochai is one of the people going. He says, "Nasa Nesar Blazer Rav Yosi Sharipat Bat Melech Romi." So when they get to where their destination is, Bar Tamalion goes into the Caesar's daughter, and then she's like Bissel Meshuga, and then he's able to cure her. He says, "Bar Tamalion, say, Bar Tamalion, say, get out of her." He says, Sharipat Bat Malach Romi, Shniftas Shei Begufa, Sheshmo Ben Tamalion. But anyway, so as a reward, Bechnisula Otsar Melach, they told Rav Blazer Rav Yosi, as a reward, you get to go to the king's treasury. They told Malach Rashi, it said, whatever you want to take, you can take from the treasury. The Chafesli told Misham Igrot Shekatu Gzeirot, Shekazrul Yisrael, Mitzam Akram. So he took the decrees written there, he ripped them up. The Shamra, Klei Beit HaMikdash Ba'otsar. There, he took Kalim from the Beit HaMikdash. So he sees this curtain with the traps on the curtain. All right, let's take a look. 1 second.
Okay. According to the Manda Amar, who said that you have to sprinkle it toward the parochet, was right. There any distance it had to arrive at?
And all I could say is that I don't know about a distance, but. But by Yom Kippur, he's standing closer to the parochet. By the other Chatero Pimiyot, he's standing further away because by the Parhalim Dabershal Tzibur, and we'll see in a minute, and the Parvasir the Shlavot Zara, he would stand beyond the Mizbeach HaPnimi, stand further away. I don't know about a specific distance. Let me just do a little more in the Gemara, and then we'll talk a little bit, and then we'll see. So the Gemara says, anyways, the bottom line is it's a Machloket Tanoim. So the Gemara says, "Bedilma departed the Helen Davar Shal Tzibur with Siriyah Bodozara Habu Dechaza." So he says, maybe how did he know that the blood he saw was from the Avodah on Yom Kippur? How could he be sure about that? There are other Chataot Pnimiot where the Kohen sprinkles the blood towards the parochet or on the parochet. How did he know? He says, "The Chaza David Kisidron." He saw they were like lined up Kisidron. It means on the parochet. They were lined up like in a row. In other words, considering that's the way Rashi learned, that's what he means, kematzlif, that either you do one, then two, then three, then four, all the way down. Or the other way you could say, one of the Mepharshim wants to say like this, that by Yom Kippur, there are eight drops of blood, one and seven below, but by the Parhalim Dabashal Tzibur and Sirei Vodazara, so then there are seven drops that are done. So Kisidron can mean that he saw eight drops. So now we have Utananami Parlin Dabashal Tzibur Kihai Gavna. Now we have Utananami, we learn the Mishnah this way, but some say it's not a Mishnah, so it should be Vitanya. So but either way, remember we've seen that sometimes Bryce says Utan. He says Gabi Parlin Dabashal Tzibur. Parlin Dabashal Tzibur is when the Sanhedrin makes an erroneous ruling, and based on their erroneous ruling, most of the Tzibur does the Navera that would be Chayav Kare B'mezid. So they bring Parlin Dabashal Tzibur Kihai Gavna. And what we see is the Braisa says Shumazelu Yonogin beparochet when they would sprinkle with the Kohen Gadol where I don't know if it has to be the Kohen Gadol by Parlin Dabershal Tzibur, but the Kohen who's sprinkling, he wouldn't touch the parochet. I mean, the blood wouldn't touch the parochet. But nagu, if it did, that's it. And so Amr Blazer Briosi and Iri Tiberomi by Yulu Kameti Pedamim Shal Parlin Dabershal Tzibur Ustriya Vodazara. So he says in this version, Rav Blazer Briosi says I saw the parochet in Rome, and it had drops of blood, not from the part of Yom Kippur, from the part of the Dabar Shal Tzibur in Syria of Avodah Zarah. And again, the Syria of Avodah Zarah is when the Sanhedrin makes an erroneous ruling, and they tell you that you could do a type of action that would be considered Avodah Zarah. But Dilma, the part of Syria Shal Yom Kippur in Ninhu, so how did he know that it was from the Parlim Dabar Shal Tzibur and from the Syria of Avodah Zarah? He says, maybe it was from Yom Kippur. He says, the Chazinu David Ishlo Kisidran. So when it's Arb, he says, I saw that it was Shlo Kisidran. So whatever we said before, so Kisidran was like one on top of the other in a straight line. These were Shlo Kisidran. And again, we said by the Parlim Dabar Shal Tzibur, he's further away from the parochet, so it would be much more difficult for him to do a Kisidran. Or you could think from the other pshat that he saw 8 and 7, he says, and that's the way he saw it. Now, the two statements don't necessarily contradict one another. Even though one statement he says he saw the drops from Yom Kippur, the other statement he says he saw the drops from the Parlim Dabar Shal Tzibur and Syria of Avodah Zarah. So he could have seen, I saw one of the parshim saying two parochot, or it could be on one parochet, he saw both. In other words, he could have seen the drops from the Yom Kippur and the drops from the Syria of Avodah Zarah and the Parlim Dabar Shal Tzibur. Anyway, so the bottom line is, we're saying it's Machloket Tanayim, whether he does indeed, sprinkle the blood on the parochet, right? All right, now let me just do a little piece with this, then we'll go on. This we have. All right.
I have a question.
Okay, just 1 minute. Okay, Ruth, I'll be with you in 2 minutes, okay? So he says, where are the kelim and the mikdash today? Like, here we're mentioning the parochet. So he says this, like, sort of mystery has accompanied us for many centuries. The base of mikdash was destroyed by the Titus, and he was the emissary of Vespasian. So the Gemara relates that Titus, the Tal parochet was something who worked in the about in Gittin, says that Titus made the parochet into the gargutni, which Rashi looks like a sal, like a basket, or it looks like, I assume, like a satchel, and he brought all the kelim mikdash and he put it there. He put it in this satchel to, like, you know, be mishtabech ibro, like, you know, have a Roman triumph or whatever. But, and then the yitush, you know, gnawed in his brains, we know about that. But the Gemara doesn't explain or specify if it ever got to its ultimate destination. The Gemara doesn't tell us, did it ever get to Rome? In the Medrash, it says that Titus parak and hamenorot, he took apart the menorot, the lakata clay beta mekdash, and collected the kelim in the parochet on his way to Rome. But it also doesn't say what happened to Sobo Shel Dabar. Now, in Rome, there's the Arch of Titus, and on the Arch of Titus, there's a famous, frieze on it that shows the, you know, Jewish captives carrying the kelim to Rome, and among them are the menorah. Now, the picture of the menorah doesn't seem to be so precise, because if you look at that Arch of Titus, at the base of the menorah, there's like sort of like serpents and different surot on it. It certainly did not decorate the menorah. In addition to which, some say the Tanei menorah, the branches of the menorah, were like straight. In other words, the branch of the menorah in the Arch of Titus looks like curved branches. So some say it should be straight branches. But that's the sheet of the Rambam. He says, not like it appears, he says, in the coins in Eretz Israel, which is like apparently taken off like from the picture of the Arch of Titus. Now, he says, so from different, you know, there's different testimonies of the Chazal, we see that the Kelim did get to Rome. He says, in the generation of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, so he mentions about Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rav Lazar Rabbi Yossi went to Rome. This whole incident we just learned about in Masechet Me'ilah went to Rome. So the emperor, you know, he let him go into the treasure house, and he saw the parochet and the dam korbanot on it, and the tzitz hazahav, the kohen gadol. The Gemara Me'ilah says he also saw the tzitz. On the same opportunity, Rav Shimon Yochai saw the menorah zahav and the tzura of the neirot. He says, and that's from the Sifri Zuta, the beginning of Parshas Bahalota. Rabbi Akiva Egert's Mitzayin, the Gilgan HaShas on our Gemara, this is an avot Rabbi Natan, that Mahteshet Shal Beit Aptinas, it means like the grinder of Beit Aptinas who made the Torah, and the Shulchan and the Menorah, the Parochah and the Sitz are still in Rome. If you look in the Gilgan HaShas, everybody look in the Gilgan HaShas, then Zion and Aleph. In the Gilgan HaShas, everybody have it? So he says, the avot Rabbi Natan, Perak Mamaleth, Mahteshet Shal Beit Aptinas, Shulchan and Menorah, Parochah, but Sitz Adayin, Munach, and Baromi. So it says on the daf, but that's the way he breaks down over there. Now, from the Chazal comes out, the Kli Mikdash did get to Rome completely, but notwithstanding that, some say that the menorah didn't get there and it completely was broken and taken apart. Now, support for this is found from a piyut from the Python Yanak. He was an early Python that lived in Tkufa right after Chatimus and Talmud, after the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara is completed, let's say, in the 6th century, so somewhere around there or afterwards. In his piyut, he says, Nishtabru be'evra, that they were broken in anger, kinei ha-menorah, the branches of the menorah. So from there till now, nobody really knows exactly what happened to it. There are all sorts of stories that they're buried in the cellars of the Vatican or somewhere in Rome. And then I'll just mention, he says that it's the begadim are called big day strad. He says, but what those begadim, there wouldn't be like a sarita pali from Klal Yisrael. That's the Gemara later on Ayin Beis. They put the big day bottom of the big day coin are called big day strad. That, but for these begadim, there wouldn't be sarita, anything left over from the Jewish people. So Rabbeinu Yaakim and the Gemara explains that the Kavanah of the Gemara is the big day kahuna are still around and they still provide protection for Klal Yisrael. Okay, what do you want to say, Ruth? What do you got?
The difference between, can you hear me? The difference between the Gzeira Shabbat and the Hekesh.
Yeah, okay, it's you're making a good point. They are connected. Gzeira Shabbat is when you have the same or similar words in two different places. And in this tradition, we learn one thing from another thing. That's the Gzeira Shabbat. You have that? A Hekesh is where I have two. Hekesh can be in different ways. I could have two items mentioned, the same Pasuk or joining Pasukim, or in some way the Pasuk joins two items. That's a Hekesh. Like in our Gemara, it says, B'chein ya'aseh le'ol moed. You'll do the same thing in Ol Moed. So the Torah itself is saying, do the same thing you did in A, do in B. So it's connecting the two items. Do you have it?
Okay.
All right, let me move on. There's more to say, but I want to make sure we get to finish the talk today. All right. So we're on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, we're up to Nita Arbu Damim Badamim, around 15 lines from the bottom on 57A. Nita Arbu Damim Badamim. So if you look at Rashi in the first very wide line downstairs, Shapar Sir Kodam Shatam Bithin Klum. So different Mepharshim learn this differently, but we'll go the way Rashi has it, that the blood of the par and the Dama Sa'ir were mixed together before he sprinkled inside. If you remember, the way the Mishnah describes to us, the Kohen Gadol does the sprinkling separately inside for the par, separately for the Sa'ir, and then he does separately for the par and separately for the Sa'ir towards the Parochet, and then the Mishnah says he joins the two bloods together. That's the way our Mishnah says. But let's say he joined the two bloods together. The difficulty with this is, if the Armish is saying that the Shechita of the Seir takes place after the Hazot for the Par. And the Gemara later on learns that according to Ula, if you would Shech the Seir before you sprinkle for the Par, so everything becomes possible. So that's why that shot isn't so great, but it could be that Rashi doesn't hold like Ula. But some want to say that it's talking that it got mixed not for the sprinkling inside, but for the sprinkling outside. Then that would take away some of the problems. But at the Arvelu Damim Damim, the blood got mixed one with another. The par and the seer blood got mixed together. So what do you do? So Amarava and Okina Chalamala Besheva Lamata, but Olu Lakan Lakan. Rava says you'll take this mixture of blood. In other words, you're supposed to do one up, seven down by par, one up, seven down by seer. Instead, it's all mixed together. Now we have blood of par and blood of seer. So you take the blood, you do one up, seven down, and then that's it, because each blood has got par and seer blood mixed in. So it's the no harm, no foul. That's the way the Rava says to say it. So Ruach coming to Rav Yirmiyah, so they mentioned Rav's shop before Rav Yirmiyah. Amar, he, Rav Yirmiyah said, like foolish Babylonians, from the Dari Bar, the Chashoka, because they live in a dark land and the Babel is like low elevation. He says, Amri Shmaith the Mechashon, they say things that are dark, and it's not a good answer, he says. It's going to come out if I'm sprinkling up and I'm sprinkling down, and the up is not the par blood and the seer blood, and that's my kavana that I want to be both par and seer blood up. So it's coming out in Mela that the seer blood upwards is being sprinkled before the par blood. He says before the down par blood. In other words, I have to do par up one, down seven. That's what I need to do. Then I do the seer blood, but I'm doing the seer blood up before the down of this par. But Torah Amra v'chibami kaper da kodesh. The Torah says, "Lechilam kaperet hakodesh." So this pasuk, let me just find it. Where is it? Thank you. Okay, that's like Plymouth Rock. Okay. Bechilami chaper at a kodesh. So he'll complete, you know, doing the hazot in the kodesh, be it all the way to the end of his bayach. So that's bechilami chaper at a kodesh is a superfluous pasuk. We could say it's like shana lav la'akev. It's repeating to be that everything is like kuva. So bechilami chaper at a kodesh, which Chazal darshan out, kalei dama par, b'karka kalei dama se'ir. In other words, finish off with the blood from the par, and then go on to the dama se'ir. So that Eitzah that you, Rava, gave is not a good Eitzah. So El Amar of Yirmiyah, rather Rav Yirmiyah says, I think this is the better Eitzah. Then in other words, I have the blood is all mixed together, and it's par blood and seer blood. But I will have in mind that I'm sprinkling just for the par. And it was my myth, my kavanah is, I only want to do a mitzvah with the par blood. So I'm not concerned with the seer blood. I'm going to do a mitzvah with the par blood up, then seven down. He says, then I'll do one up and seven down the Shema Seir. Okay, so that's the way we resolve that. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, we're starting from the bottom. Okay, so the way Rashi learns here, if you look at the last Rashi, so Rashi learns, and this seems very strange, but after he sprinkled once with the par upwards, at that point, the blood got mixed together. Now everything is all vermished. So Savara Papa Kamei Rabba LeMeimar. So Papa thought what he should do. And again, they're living after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. But Savara Papa Kamei Rabba LeMeimar changed Sheva Lamach to the Shame Par, the Shame Seir. So now everything is mixed together. So I'll do seven drops down combination, Par V'Seir. Then I'll do the one up for the Seir. So the one for the par upwards, I did already. So I need to do seven down for the par. So I'll do seven down for the par and seven down for the Seir because I'll make a joint deal. And then I'll do one up for the Seir. So Amalei Rava. So Rava said, up till now, they called us foolish because I made this Eitzah to join everything doing and didn't work out. But Hashta Tipshoi to Tipshoi. Now they're going to say, you're really the fools of the fools. He says the Kamigamrina Luhu Velo Gemiri, because we teach them and they don't learn. In other words, the Babylonians, they don't get it right. He says, so he's saying, Vahaka Yativ, Mata Sayir, become Mala the Sayir. If you're going to do it the way you, Rabbi Papa, suggest doing, which is have in mind seven down is going to be for both of them, and then I'll do the upwards of the Sayir. So I'm doing the downward, you know, drippings of the Sayir before the upwards of the Sayir. But Torah Amra, Tin Lamala Vacharka Klamata. Torah says, one up. And then seven down. Turn page on the top line. Then Zion Amud Beis. Okay, seven be the top line. Ella Amar Rabba. Rather, Rabba says, "Notain Sheva Lamata L'Shem Par." He should do seven down L'Shem Par, even though the blood is mixed together. V'Chozer Notain Achal Lamala V'Sheva Lamata L'Shem Seir. Then I should do one up and seven down L'Shem Seir. Okay. Now on the third line. What do you mean? We're going back and forth.
He's going inside and outside to do this?
No. The way Rashi's learning, he's just inside the Kodesh, the way Rashi's learning. So inside the Kodesh, he did one up for the par, and then everything got mixed together somehow. It's hard to imagine how that would be, but it was everything got mixed together. So then for that segment, he's going to do the seven down, just have in mind the par. Then he'll do one up, the shame seer, and then seven down, the shame seer. That's what Rabbi says for us. Okay, now the third line. Now here's a different case where he has the blood separately. He's got one bowl with par blood, one bowl with seir blood. And remember, the according to the Tana Bar Mishnah, he had two separate stands. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one stand, so you shouldn't get confused with it. But he got confused. He doesn't know which is the par blood and which is the seir blood. So they ask on this, and I'm glad you're here now, Shai. So they ask that the par blood doesn't look quite the same as seer blood. I think the par blood, they said, is redder, so the Gemara itself says, and the seer blood is lighter tone. But they say that either he's an old Kohen, he can't see so well, and he's by himself there, or with the full show of Yom Kippur, like the weakness of Yom Kippur, he doesn't know what he's doing, he can't tell the difference between the two. So what should he do? So it's arvulo kosot bekosot. So if the kosot got confused, notain v'chozer v'notain v'chozer v'notain shloshah pamim. So he'll do it three. In other words, he doesn't know which is par, which is seir. So he's going to do. He'll take A, B, A. That's the way he's going to do it. He's got bowl A, bowl B, and bowl A, and bowl B. So he'll do it A, B, A. So what are the possibilities if he does A, B, and A? You know, one up, seven down. So what are the possibilities? Either one possibility is A is the par and B is the Seir. So if A is the par and B is the Seir, he's home free. He did the par, and then he did the Seir. So he's doing another one, which is the Seir, but then there'll be no harm, no foul. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, A is the Seir and B is the par. So if A is the Seir, he did the Seir, that's out of the sequence. But then he'll do the par, that'll be in sequence, and then do the Seir, that'll be in sequence. So he'll, either way, he'll have it covered. All right, everybody good so far? All right. Now, line four. Mix the damim into arbulo, mix the damim lone into arbulo. Now, here the Gemara is saying, let's say he's got two bowls of blood, and the two bowls remain separate, but some of the blood is mixed in a third keli. So he's got three bowls. Bowl A, he's got Seir blood. Bowl B, he's got par blood. And bowl C, he's got mixed par and Seir blood. That's why he's got it. So the Gemara says, Pshita Kiyani Vadan Yayim. So it's Pashut. When he's going to do the blood applications, he's going to do from that which he definitely knows is par and definitely knows Seir. That's not the problem. The question is, what is the status of the blood in bowl C, which is the dam, the par and the Seir together? Do we view it as shirayim? Shirayim is the blood that's left over after you do the mitzvah. If it's shirayim, it's poured down at the base of the mizbeah. Is it shirayim? Or is it Dahui? Is it like Tuchuyin? If it's blood that can't be used for the avoda, so it's like rejected, so then it's poured into the irrigation canal in the Azara and it goes out to Nachal Kidron. That's the question. The blood's left over. So the Gemara will say, it means like this. On the one hand, I have this blood that's left over, so I could view it as Shirayim left over, but on the other hand, it's blood that I can't use for the avoda now. So in a way, it's dahui. So then that way, it's dahui. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the line eight in the Gemara. So Amara Papa, Avilamad Damar Kosachado Sechaver Shirayim. Now we're going to see Machloket in a few lines of the Gemara by a regular Chatat, nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Let's say a person had the blood from the Korban Chatat. He put it into two kosot. And one kos he uses for the application to the mizbeach, and the other kos he does not use. So what says so machloket? What the status of that other kos is? What's the status? So Amar Papa, Pilamanda Mar Kosachado Sechavir Shirayim. Rav Papa says even according to the opinion that says that the second cup that he did not use is shirayim and would be poured at the base of the mizbeach, Hanim Lehechadi by Lameita of Matziyayiv. That's only where if he wanted to use it, he could use it. Theoretically, he could use it. He's got two bowls from chatat blood. He has to make applications on the four kranot of the outer mizbeach. This has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. So even according to the opinion, it says that's shirayim, but that's where he could use bowl B, but he chooses to use bowl A. He says, about high, the ibai lamaita of lamatsiyayiv, here he can't use bowl B because it's the mixture of the blood. So he can't do that low. So he wouldn't say that. So that would cut towards making it dihui. That would cut that way. So please, everybody, silence whatever you got going, okay? So Amali Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Rav Papa, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua said to Rav Papa, that Rav Papa is the one who said, even the one opinion who held Shirayim would hold to Dahui. He says, Adraba, I think Punkpater, just the opposite. I feel the Lamar Kosakarasaka Dahui. Even according to the opinion, says, where I'm taking him from one cup, I'm applying to by the Khatat, I'm applying to the Kranot. The other one is dahui, it's rejected. Panimili didachi abiyadayim, meaning where he proactively left it out, means like this. He could have used it, but he didn't use it. So it's dahui. In other words, I could go with B, but I'm not going with B. I'm leaving it out. But I choose not to use B. That's dahui, according to this opinion. Here, it's not that he could use it. In other words, it's saying the same svara, but applying it like in a different way. He's saying, as a matter of halacha, he can't use that bowl C. As a matter of halacha, he can't use it. It's not that he wanted to be doka. In other words, I could have used it, but I rejected it. That's worse than I can't use it because of halachic reasons. I can't use it. That's one way to learn. Now, some have a different girsa here in the Gemara, which is what the girsa of Rashi has. So they take out the words that we just read and say differently. They say, Hani Mile, I'm looking in the Rashi in 1 minute. One second. Yeah. He says, yeah. So it's Hanimile. lo yahiv minei, right? In other words, that's where he never applied any of the blood with it. Lo yahiv minei. Aval hai de yahiv minei, that which he gave, it's low. It's not considered dihui. Means like this. According to the second version, he's saying that the blood that's in the third bowl is like viewed as totally different. In other words, that's not part of the thing that could go on the mizbeach. But the blood that's left over here let me go back. Give me one second. Yeah. So this is in footnote 12. He says in the article, he says it's dahui where he did not apply the blood from the other cup. He says, but in the case of this cup of mixed blood, he did apply the blood from it. It's not considered. So according to this, he's saying he views like the sprinklings from the two unmixed cups have been made from the mixed cup as well. This is because the mixed blood was received from the animal along with the unmixed blood and was only later poured into a third cup. In other words, it means like this. Like by the two animals, by the avod on Yom Kippur, he received one blood in bowl for the par and one blood in a bowl for the seir, and then he mixed some of the blood together. So, but the blood that's mixed together was originally received in the bowl for the par or in the bowl for the seir. It was originally part of that blood that was received in the bowl. So that would they would view that as not dahui, not rejected from the zbeach, because it's viewed as being part of that original one. But the chatat where he received two bowls, that was received in a separate bowl. It's a different parsha, and that was rejected. Okay, so the Gemara has svaras both ways about whether this is considered to be shirayim or dechuyim. Now let's see the brisa, and then we'll hopefully clarify this, and then we'll talk more. Okay, Titania, everybody in the Gemara one, Nimzayim Rebbeis, is 57b, around 15 lines down. He says, Titania, we learn the brisa. Now, this is talking about, in Parshas Vayikra, it's describing the different korbanot chatat. There's a special korban chatat of a person's nasi. Nasi is the melech. If he's a melech and he doesn't have aveira, that a garden variety person will be chayv a chatat, so nasi has a special chatat that he brings, a different animal. So, but it says, in other words, the leftover blood he'll pour at the base of the mizbeach. He says, Ulamata hu omer, and then a few psukim later, when it's describing the garden variety chatat for everybody else, he says, Ulamata hu omer, be a kol dama yishbo, all the blood you'll pour down. So one korban chatat says, damo yishbo, the blood you'll pour. Once it's kol dama yishbo, all the blood you'll pour. So now, based on those psukim, the Braisa says, minayin l'chatat shikbel dama ba'arba kosot. Let's say you have a korban chatat, and the person checked the korban chatat, and he's doing Kabbalah Saddam. Obviously, he's a Kohen doing Kabbalah Saddam. But he receives it in four different cups. So, means he used the four different cups, and he uses the four different cups to apply the blood to the four kranot. So all the leftover blood is poured to the Yisod. How do I know that? It's the base of the Mizbeach. Tamlomo be a kol dama yishpok. So that's the Pasuk, be a kol dama yishpok. But let's say he made all four applications with one bowl, and now in this case he's got like three bowls left over. So Tamil Omar via Damo Yishpok. So according to the Tanakhama, this is the key case. This is the case we were referring to earlier, that when the blood was poured into separate bowls, or and he only uses one cup or one bowl, so the other cups get poured into the Amma. That's considered dahui. This can be poured into the irrigation canal and it goes out to the Kidron Valley. This is Reblaza Reb Shimon Omer. It should be Reblaza. Reblaza Reb Shimon Omer, he's the one who was in the cave with his father. That's where Reb Shimon Yochai's son. Reblaza Reb Shimon Omer, so he's Mechulak with that then. The Tanakhama held that it goes into the Amma. He says, how do I know that if he received blood in four cups and he put all four applications in one cup, that everybody's poured to the Yisod, to the base of the Mizbeach? other words, it's all Yud Shirayim, Tamalomu Mi'akol Dama Yishpoch. So he's saying, Kol Dama Yishpoch applies all those cases. The Yiport always the base of his Be'ah. So Gemara says, Rav Elazar ben Shimon Haktivi Dama Yishpoch. So what did Rav Elazar ben Shimon do with the Pasach Be'ah Dama Yishpoch? So Amar Bashi, Mi'uti Shirayim Shimitzavar Behema. He's saying that that'll teach me that the blood, which is in Tzavar Behem, in other words, Dama Yishpoch means some blood gets poured at the base of his Mizbeach, some not. So since he's always saying, I'm pouring all the blood at the base of his Mizbeach, so which is the blood that's not poured at the base of his Mizbeach? So he says, where the Shirayim Shem Tzavar Behem, you check the Behema, and then there's blood still dripping out afterwards. So that blood will go into the Yama. That's clearly that case. Anyway, so the bottom line is, so we were talking, we were discussing with where I had one bowl with seer blood, one bowl with par blood, and one bowl with mixed blood. So we know we're going to apply the blood separately from the par and the seer, but what about the bowl with the mixed blood? What do I do with it? Do I pour it at the base of his back, or do I pour it into the ama? So the Gemara says it's different as far as that I can apply. So according to Rapapa, even the opinion says that it would be shirayim, here, that's where you could have used it. Here, where I can use it, so it's definitely dahui. That's going to Rapapa. So going to Rapapa, it's dahui. And then Rav Huna said, even the opinion says that it would be dahui over there, that it would be considered dahuim over there. He says, Hani mila dahki biadayim. That's only where it's dahki biadayim, where he chose not to use it as the first shot. He chose not to use it. But here, where Al-Pi'alachi can't use it, it's a different case. And so it would be Shirayim, according to that logic. Or the other pshat that we discussed was that Hanimile Heche, what was it, Heche, that, what do we say, that the Heche, the Lo Yahiv Mine, that's only where he didn't apply the blood. Well, hi, the Yahiv Mine Lo. In this case, he did apply the blood. In other words, since the blood had originally went to a bowl that was used, so it's considered as if it was used on his back, and indeed it would be shirayim. All right, with the question comes to what's up? Three cases. How's three?
One, you had mixed, and you know, for instance, so you do one up three times, one for the seer, one for the.
Oh, you mean from the beginning within the Gemara? Yeah. Within the Gemara. Yeah.
Then you have even before, like you said, that if you like in Sheva Brachot, okay, and one there is a machloket said that they're going to go on the way. So,
well, the cases we discussed in the Gemara,
you spill it into the Amad.
Okay. So the cases we discussed in the Gemara were one second were. The Arvu Damim Damim, where the blood all got mixed together, that's the first case we discussed. Then we discussed where you would apply one already above and the blood got mixed together. Then we discussed the Arvu Kosot, the Kosot. And then I didn't know which cup was which cup, I didn't know which blood was that. And then the last case we discussed was I have separate cups, but the 30 cup is mixed together. Right, so that would be like four cases. Okay, so let's see further in the Gemara. So I'm 10 lines from the bottom, and then we'll talk a little bit, and we'll see how we do. So we're at the two dots on Zion base. So Ira Dama Par Latok Dama Seir. So we said in the Mishnah, the Tana says that the Kohen Gadol. So after he does the applications of the Par and Seir and the Kodesh Kodashim. Then he does the applications of the Par, or the sprinkling of the Par Seir and the Kodesh. Then at that point, he mixes the blood together. He pours the blood from one bowl into the other, and then back again. So you read them part of Tamasir. So the Gemara says, "Sinan kamandamar ma'aravin lekranot." So our Mishnah is learning like the opinion that holds that you would mix the blood when you make. He's going to make the application of blood on the kranot, on the corners of the inner mizbeach. So he's not done with the blood yet. So our mission is going like according to the opinion that says that the blood has to be mixed before it's placed on the kranot on the inner mizbeach. That's what he says. He says the Idmar because we stated machlok and amarayim, Reb Yosef, Reb Yonatan, machlok between Reb Yosef and Reb Yonatan, chadamar ma'arvin, chadamar ein ma'arvin. One says that you would mix the blood to that, and one says no, the blood still remains separate. So Tistayim, the Gemara says you should conclude Reb Yosef who damar ma'arvin. So you should conclude Rabbi Yoshi is the opinion that says that we would mix the blood. The Amar Avogav lo k'tiv yachdav, man k'tiv yachdav dami. So Rabbi Yoshi says that when if the Torah says and, like it says v'lakach midama par midama seir, that's what the Torah says. He's going to take midama par midama seir. Yoshi says whenever the Torah says, you know, you're going to take midama par umidam, like the vav, whenever I have a vav, it means I do everything together, unless the Torah has lima the other way, not separately. So when it says vav, always means and. Now, his raya of that is from Pasuk, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin has this, and Rashi around 8 lines to the bottom, or the fifth very wide line in Rashi, ish isha shekalel aviv imo. So he says that if a person curses his father and his mother, so the Gemara says, ein l'aviv imo, avi below imo, imo l'avi b'nayin. So I only know if you curse both your mother and your father, you get the onus that's set forth in the Torah. So, and I think it's death. In other words, you get death. So he says, how do I know if you curse with the mother and not the father, or the father not the mother? So he says, Tamalomar aviv kileel imo kileel. So the verb kileel is near the father, and the word kileel is near the mother. It says, ishi ashi kileel et aviv, kileel is near the father. It says aviv imo kileel. Then it says, aviv imo kileel, and repeats it again. So he has a special limud to teach that it would be separate. But for that limud, he would have learned that you have to always do it together. Whenever it's above, you always do it together. So we think that Rabbi Yoshi is the one who holds that way. Whereas the other opinion, which is Rabbi Yonatan, he holds when the Torah has above, it means either or, and that's the way it would go. So here, the way Rabbi Shachar was saying to me today, the Mishnah sounds like you have to do it, mix it together. So that's going like Rabbi Yoshi, because Rabbi Yonatan would say, no, it doesn't have to be together. Now, Rabbi Yonatan says it's only has to be together if the Torah says Yachdav. Lo tacharosh b'shor u'bachamor Yachdav. When it says Yachdav, together, that means together. Otherwise, separate. So let's see back in the Gemara. So we think that Rabbi Yoshi is the one who says Ma'arvin. The Amar Afagav lo k'tiv Yachdav, k'man d'tiv Yachdav dami. Because Rabbi Yoshi holds, even though the Torah doesn't say Yachdav, it says Yachdav. So the Gemara says, Afil tamei Rabbi Yonatan hu. You could even say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yonatan. Shani hacha d'chtiv achat. Because here, by Yom Kippur, it says, v'chiper, this pasuk is at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. It says, v'chiper alav ha-kohen achat b'shana. The kohen will bring kapara achat b'shana. So achat b'shana, the Gemara is darshaning out, not just once a year, but like one application of blood. In other words, I'm not going to do par b'sa'ir on the Mizbeach. It says, here, let me get the pasuk out. It's talking about the parnot of the Mizbeach. It's the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, one second. Again. So it says, one second. The chiper Aaron al karnotav achat b'shana. Aaron will bring kapara on karnotav, on the horns of the mizbeach achat b'shana. So truth of the grain is once a year. But the grain is only achat b'shana, one application during the year. That's going to bring the kapara on the inner mizbeach. So he says, so here the Gemara says, it could even be like Rabbi Yonatan, who normally says it's separate, Now, the only thing is, the question is the Gemara chos there from what it said earlier? The Gemara said earlier it's a machloket. In other words, one says ma'arvin, one says ein ma'arvin. And we thought that Rabbi Yoshi is the one who holds ma'arvin, and Tana holds not ma'arvin. So is the Gemara chos there now and saying, yeah, there is still machloket, but Rabbi Yonatan is the one who says ma'arvin. Or I think the easier shot is the way Tosos has it, that the Gemara is saying, no, it's not a machloket, and everybody holds that it's ma'arvin. Yeah, so the Gemara is closer from the idea that it's machloket. Okay, so the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom on Nun Zayinu Beis, so Tanya Delo Kishinuyan. We can learn a brisa, which is not the way that we had learned. It was the way we just learned, everybody agrees that you mix the blood together. When they're in the Brisa, it's going to say differently. Now, again, Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshia are Amoraim. So the Brisa is not going to be this way. It says, V'lakach midama par midama seir. I didn't say right. They're Tanaim. He says, Tani lo kishinuyan. V'lakach midama par midama seir. Shumu rabin de Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says they have to be mixed, which is the way we thought originally. On the top line in Chenam and Aleph, Rabbi Yonatan omer, mizebeth ne'atzmo, mizebeth ne'atzmo. Rabbi Yonatan says they're each separately. So not the way we just said about achat b'shana, but rather in Achinami there's machloket, and the machloket is set forth here. So the braisa continues. Avalu Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says to Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Yoshia is in favor of mixing the blood. Lo kvar nemar achat, It says achat, the pasuk which is quoted. So Amalu Rinatan, look bar nemar, midama par, midama seir. But the other pasuk says you'll take from the gam par and dama seir, which he assumes means separately. In kein lama nemar achat, so why does it say achat? Lomar lacha, achat v'lo shtayim midama par, achat v'lo shtayim midama seir. It means achat, that it's just, you're going to apply the dama par one series with the par, and one series with the seir. You're not going to do like you did 1-7, the whole thing like that, like with multiple applications. But one application, one series of applications for the par, one series of applications for the seir. Now the Gemara quotes another brisa. Tani Ida, we learn a different brisa. L'kach midama par midama seir. Shumu ravin zeba zeh. That they should, the blood should be mixed together. Atalmir shumu ravin zeba zeh. Wein alom mizeb pnei atzmo mizeb pnei atzmo. Maybe each one is separate. This is tamalomar achat. So it's achat. And the Gemara says, stamak Rav Yoshia. This anonymous brisa goes like Rav Yoshia. Because Rav Yoshia is the one who holds that it's everything is together. Okay, let me just do a few minutes with this, and then this will be it. Now, all right, this might help us with a little bit earlier. Okay, we're about sprinkling the blood towards the curtain. The Tanakhama of the Brisa states that when the Kohen Gadol performs, this is going back to Kamed Aleph, when the Kohen Gadol performs the Zrika, facing the parochet, the curtain dividing the Heichal from the Kodesh Kedashim, he does not attempt to sprinkle the blood on the curtain, rather he sprinkles the blood towards the curtain. The laws of Yossi, however, testifies that he saw the parochet among the spoils of Rome, and there were many drops of blood on it from the untip of bull and goat. Yerushalmi. So here he's introducing us to Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi comments that Reb Lazar's testimony does not contradict the Tanakhama's assertion, because the Tanakhama does not say the avodah is invalid if the blood reaches the curtain. He only says that the blood reaching the parochet is not an essential requirement. So in other words, Yerushalmi is smoothing out the differences. In other words, one says you don't sprinkle on the parochet. The other one says you do sprinkle on the parochet. But Yerushalmi says, the one who says you don't sprinkle on the parochet doesn't say you can't sprinkle on the parochet, but you don't have to. He says, therefore, the fact that parochet had blood spots does not prove the Kohen Gadol is halakhically required to sprinkle it there. So that's not a proof for him. In other words, the fact that he saw parochet with blood, that doesn't prove you have to sprinkle on the parochet. I hold, you don't have to sprinkle on the parochet, but if he did, he did. The Rishonim state, however, the Reb Lazar disagrees with the Tanakhama and the purpose. So again, so it means Reb Lazar says, I went to Rome, I saw the parochet with all the blood on it. So is that statement contradicting the Tanakhama, or it was in conformity with the Tanakhama? Tanakhama says you don't sprinkle on the parochet. So the way Rishami is saying, you don't sprinkle, but you could sprinkle. But most Rishonim learn that it contradicts it. He says, the Rishonim state, however, the Lazar disagrees with the Tanakhama, and the purpose of his testimony is to prove the Kohen Gadol is required to sprinkle blood onto the parochet. The Tosfos of Rush explains that Reb Lazar argued that if there were no halakhic requirement to sprinkle the blood on the parochet, as Tanakhama says, the Kohen Gadol presumably would have been careful that no blood reached the parochet. The Evan Azel, that's reviewed for Zalman Meltzer, explains that he would not have sullied the curtain needlessly if it was not halakhically required. So if I don't have to do it, I'm not going to do it. Thus, Reb Lazar proved from the bloody parochet that the Kohen Gadol is required to sprinkle the blood there. Alternatively, the Tosfot Yeshanim and the Ritva explain that Reb Lazar concedes that some of the bull and goat blood may have unwittingly landed on the parochet, even if this was not halakhically required. However, he concluded from the appearance of the bloody curtain, they would deliberately sprinkle all the blood on the parochet because he noticed a lot more than just a few stray drops there. It was, he saw a kisidron. It's not just that it happened. He's doing a kisidron. That means he intended to be it there. Thus, he deduced it was a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to sprinkle the blood so that it reaches the parochet. So this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying that they would, the Gemara says they would change the parochet once a year. And also, but they asked that they launder the parochet. So I can't remember, like, I saw one blurb in the Masifta. It says that, like, they would clean the parochet. So what was doing with the blood stains? Why would they have been there? I can't remember. All right, let me see what else I have here. All right, I'll just do this last question and then I'll leave you. The Tosfos Yeshanim asks, now we said that if you have the blood that's mixed together, so you do 1-7 l'shem par, and then 1-7 l'shem seir. That's why you'll do it. Tosfos Yeshanim asks why the prohibition against adding to the Torah, Baal Tosif, is not violated when the Kohen Gadol follows Rabbi Yirmiyah's suggestion. So I'm doing it, but he says they answer that the prohibition is not violated when it adds to a mitzvah as response to a circumstance of doubt. Other Rishonim dispute this contention, maintain that the prohibition against adding to the Torah is violated, even if the addition is performed as a function of doubt. All right, he's got a whole, it's interesting here. Rav Moshe Shek ruled that if a person is uncertain whether a mezuzah is supposed to be fixed to the right or left of a doorway, you should not fix mezuzah on both sides out of doubt. It sounds so simple, right of the doorway, but it really becomes a tricky thing when you get a house, which is the main room, which is the subsisting room, which is this, that, the other. So he's saying, you know what, I don't know, I'll do both sides. So he says, don't do both sides. This is because he's the opinion that this may violate the prohibition against adding to the mitzvah, even though it is done out of doubt. Rabbi Tzal Stern, on the other hand, was leniently. Leniently means that you could do it, he has both sides. He addressed a case of a person who purchased a home and fixed mezuzahs on the doorway. Subsequently, the person discovered that the previous owner had already fixed mezuzahs on some of the doorways. So I don't understand how he didn't see the mezuzahs, but he's fixing the mezuzahs, and apparently there were mezuzahs there. One of the questions addressed was whether there was violation of the prohibition against adding to the mitzvah by fixing additional mezuzahs, because one is uncertain of the kashrus. So there's a mezuzah there, I'm putting another mezuzah on the door. It doesn't sound like a different side, but I'm adding another mezuzah. So is that Baal Tosid? So he says, through Stern, probably an opinion, that adding to a mitzvah because of doubt does not violate the prohibition. Okay, let me just end the recording. Which we're talking about now? At the end? You told that, well, that was Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Hanina, you mean, not right? Where's Rabbi Nathan? Who's Rabbi Nathan? Wait, are you talking about whether the blood was mixed or not for the
after fight for the mitzvah, no? Wait, one arm is there.
Right. You're talking about I think the par you do first, yeah. Okay. All right, let me end, it says Balakak Midama Par Midama Seir. Yeah. Okay, let me end the recording. How do I, what's this recording?